Well, that was incredible. Thank you so much for sharing. My name is Daniel Clark. My wife and I serve at COC Bible Study. I was raised in a home that was split. My mom was a believer. She got saved when I was about 5 or 6 years old. But my dad was not a Christian. And around 6 years old, my mom started bringing us here to Grace Community Church. So I grew up on this campus, in the Sunday school classrooms, in the Tower Building, doing juniors, Wednesday nights at Awana, memorizing scripture, doing all the things. And I even got baptized in the junior high ministry. The only problem was I wasn't saved. And I mean, you may see that as a little issue. Church was something that I did because it made my mom happy that I went. That was why I was here. But when high school began, I started to spend time with, the only way that I can describe it would be really bad people, and really invested my life in them. And I was living a double life. I wanted my friends at church, and then I wanted my friends in high school at my public school. My sophomore year in high school, I got a driver's license, which meant freedom from my mother. It meant freedom that I didn't have to go with her to church on a weekly basis. I got to drive myself. And so I drove as far away from the church as I possibly could. My heart towards the gospel was really hard, and I was pretty much tired of living a double life. I didn't want to pretend anymore. I just wanted to dive headfirst into everything that was happening at public school with my friends, with skateboarding. All of those things was where I wanted to invest. The world promises a lot. With its lusts and with the pride of life, you, as a non-believer, you want what the world is offering. The problem is that it entices you with its lusts, and then it brings you down, and it really just beats you to death. But you're so enwrapped and engulfed in what's going on in the world that you don't see a way out. And you feel like you just need to keep going. My life was entrenched in alcohol and substance abuse. Living with friends that I really just should never been anywhere around, nowhere, you know, that my mother would have wanted me to be. And around 2002, it all came to a crashing halt when my parents announced that they were getting divorced after almost 30 years of marriage. My dad was walking away, and that was really earth-shattering for me. It was like no matter how bad my life was, no matter how bad I was in with my friends and our groups and things that we were doing, I still had home. I still had a place that I went and kind of rested my head at night, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I moved out before they sold the family home. I wasn't interested in being around them, and I was just trying to escape. I started going to the golf course every night after work just to hit golf balls. Like, I could take that little white dimpled demon and just, you know, focus on that. I'd hit hundreds of golf balls every single night. I just wanted to escape. I didn't want to be around my parents or my friends, for that matter. I didn't really know where I was going. And in God's sovereignty, he would have it that the guy who was working the pro shop at the golf course, his name was Brian Amandis, and Brian recognized me from childhood here at Grace Community Church. And he introduced himself. I recognized him a little bit, but I didn't care. And he would talk to me every night. I would go in there. It used to be that you'd have to go in and buy a card to get a bucket of golf balls, and so we'd interact a little bit. And then I remember one night distinctly, he was like, you know, you should consider coming with me to COC Bible Study. And my answer was definitive and harsh. I just went, no. I was not hard pass, okay? I was not interested in attending a Bible study. But he continued to talk to me over the months to come, and he continued to be kind to me. And we ended up going out one night, like for appetizers and just to spend time and talk. I think it was Chris G that talked about meaningful relationships with unbelievers. And that's really what Brian was pursuing with me. It wasn't a beat me over the head with his Bible relationship. It was he cared about who I was. He saw my life. He saw the trajectory. He saw the people that I was hanging out with. He saw that ultimately I was going to hell, and he was compelled to continue building a relationship. He continued to invite me to Bible study. And one Wednesday morning, and I swear to you, I have no idea how this happened. One Wednesday morning, I woke up, and I was thinking through my day, and I was like, maybe I'll go to Bible study tonight. And like, once the shock of that thought wore off, I was getting ready in the morning, and it kind of hung with me, like, well, you know, okay, I don't have anything else to do. Maybe I'll go to Bible study. So I called Brian. I'm like, hey, I think I want to go to Bible study tonight. And there's this silence on the other line. And he just, seriously? Yeah, what's the big deal? I'll go. So he didn't show up that night. That was amazing. He was helping his family get ready for a vacation. But he told me that they were meeting. It was over the summer, so they weren't meeting on campus anymore, but they were meeting at the Bible study shepherd's house. And he told me the Bible study shepherd was Kurt Gephardt. Now, if you don't know Kurt Gephardt, I knew Kurt from high school ministry. So instantly, I was like, oh, no. Kurt is like 6'7". He's 285 pounds. He's large and in charge. But I went to his house. I went. And what was amazing was that I saw so many people at that Bible study that night who I knew, like from juniors and junior high ministry, who weren't saved when I left Grace Community Church, but they were saved now. And Brian had told all of them for months that he was witnessing to me, and all of them had been praying for me. And Kurt was so nice the first week that I was there. He welcomed me, hugged me, and challenged me to come back. And so I came back the next week, at which time he finished his sermon. We sat down and talked upstairs in his house, kind of this loft area. And he told me that the hottest levels of hell were reserved for people who knew the truth and walked away from it. And it was devastating. I kept asking myself, how could I give up everything that I had? How could I give up my friends? How could I give up, substance abuse? How could I give up, an ungodly relationship that I was involved in? All these things, how could I give it up? And over time, through Kurt's preaching, through Brian's witnessing, I ended up just asking myself, give up what? Like, what am I really giving up? Because eternity with Christ and the body of Christ here is everything. And I really wasn't giving up anything that wasn't leading me to eternal damnation. I remember being in my bedroom in a rented room in a friend's house, falling to my knees, begging for forgiveness, knowing that my life was nothing without Christ. You know, I think that when we think about campus ministry, we don't realize how much has gone into the campuses that we serve at. COC Bible Study was started like 35 years ago, and they weren't allowed to be a club on campus at first. We had a group of people that met on the grass out front the campus every Wednesday for like 2 years and just prayed that God would allow them to have a ministry on campus. Those people had no idea that when they were praying for that someday an unrepentant jerk, for lack of better terms, would come to saving faith in Christ through that ministry. And all of our campus ministries were started in a similar capacity. And, you know, in Luke 10, when Jesus is getting ready to send the 70 out into ministry, he says, "Now beseech the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers out. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And really what those people were doing at COC Bible Study was praying that God would bring people who wanted to do the work of the ministry, who wanted to share the gospel, who wanted to see people come to Christ because they felt compelled to see souls saved. And Paul tells us in Romans 10 that people need to hear, and hearing believe, and believing call upon the name of the Lord, and calling upon the name of the Lord be saved. And that's our charge, whether at our jobs like Brian, inviting people to come to a Bible study or whether that be on your campuses, that's our work. And we're blessed to have it. I would encourage you, if you ever think that you don't want to evangelize, consider those of us that shared our testimonies this morning, and be willing to reach out, to see souls saved for the glory of Christ. Thanks.